Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Right now I wanted to talk about a subject that I've been on my heart for a long time. I'm a part of a national organization called Clear the Airwaves. And it is a group of people across the United States who are frustrated and have been for a long time with what is being played on the airways. The rap music that is poisoning our neighborhoods and our communities and are at the root of some outlandish behavior that is impacting and causing such pain and hardship in our neighborhoods and in our communities. And so there's a project that I'm so have been a part of now for the last 3 years or 4 years, I believe, as people from across this nation have organized in an effort to bring this information to us, because we do know that at the root of a lot of our behavior in our neighborhoods and in our communities is the information that goes out over the airways. I know that there was a time in my lifetime when what we hear on all too familiar a basis in our neighborhoods and in our communities was not allowed. There was standards over the radio station and over the airwaves that would not allow the kinds of garbage that is being played all times of the day and night in our neighborhoods and in our communities. And so I've been involved in the public schools for the last 12 years. And I've noticed as young children and their parents pull up to the school early in the morning, 8 o'clock, and the door swings open and the smoke, the marijuana smoke that comes out of that car, and the horrific and vicious lyrics that are being played in that automobile when that 6-year-old or 8-year-old or 10-year-old gets out of that car, repeating the horrific, you know, songs and lyrics that are being played, cause severe damage to not only those parents, but also to the children who are in the cars. The children then come into the schools and have to, if you will, be deprogrammed from that filth that they've been hearing in the marijuana smoke that they've been exposed to, and somehow they're expected to start learning immediately. And all of these things, the Clear the Airwaves Project has been working on now for the better part, I think, of 4 years. And as we speak, one of the orchestrators of the Clear the Airwaves Project is none other than my good friend, Mr. Bob Law, out of New York City. Hey, Bob, how you doing, man?
I'm good. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you. And as I'm talking about, you know, I was going to have this conversation with another gentleman who asked me to have it. And so he couldn't make it, but I was going to go through with having it anyway, because it's a conversation that needs to be had every hour of every day. So let's talk a little bit about Clear the Airwaves Project, Bob, and why it's so important.
Well, the Clear the Airwaves Project started in Chicago and Gary, Indiana, and in Chicago with his brother Kwabena Rasuli, as the primary spokesperson, getting that Clear the Airways project off the ground. For some time, though, there has been a real concern about what is being broadcast, and that is deliberately targeting Black audiences and Black young people. And some years ago, Erica Ford, who has the I Love My Life anti-violence campaign, she and I collaborated on the Turn Off the Radio campaign. Got some help from some of the pioneer rappers, Afrika Bambaataa, Chuck D, and it was Chuck D who brought it to my attention first as to how hip hop had been weaponized and turned into a tool or a weapon being used against Black youth. And so we began this campaign, even at that point, to challenge what was happening on the air. And it began by appealing to the decision makers, most of whom were Black, at radio stations. The stations were not necessarily owned by Black people, but the program directors were Black, and the decision makers were Black, as is the case now, where Harvey Mason is with the Grammys, and he is Black.
Go ahead, Bob.
Right, all right. And we have appealed to decision makers based on the content, what is being suggested. This is a music now that encourages Black people to hate each other, to kill each other, to romanticize killing, while we're talking about a need for putting an end to violence in the street. The hypocrites who say that they are opposed to violence in the street but would not do anything to help redirect those messages that encourage violence. The in the Grammys give away Grammy Awards to people whose lyrics call to denigrate Black women, whose lyrics call for murdering Black people and for disrespecting and disregarding Black women in particular. The NAACP Image Awards, the hypocrites at the NAACP, and the Image Awards, which give awards to people whose lyrics call for the same thing, the same killing and disrespect. They, at the same time, they cry crocodile tears about the violence in the street, but they are part of the process that romanticizes and rewards people for promoting anti-Black violence. They reward people who promote the degradation of Black women. And so that is part of our concern. I think that what people don't understand is how significant and how powerful music actually is. You need people to do a little research and to study, read some things about your mind and music. A lot of research has been done. A lot now we know and understand. And so these decisions to continue to use the music the decisions to continue to promote and reward people for using music as a weapon against Black people, that is a very deliberate decision. They know better. And one of the part of our concern is how the people who control that segment of the entertainment industry, the record people and the record companies and managers of the artists, hardly any of them are Black. But the music very deliberately makes it clear by the use of the N-word that this message is only for Black people. When it says about how I hate ends, that, you know, they make sure that they point out in these lyrics with the use of the N-word that they are only talking about our daughters and children. They are making it clear that they are not talking about the daughters of the people who manage them, who are not black. They're not talking about the daughters of their white managers. They're not talking about the daughters of their white money managers and accountants. They're not talking about the daughters of the white folk who actually owns the record company and are responsible for the distribution, booking artists. The industry is still very much controlled by whites. And so the people who perform this kind of self-destructive music make a point to make it clear to the people who own them that they're only talking about the daughters and the young people in the black community. And as I say, with the information that we now have and have had for some time about music and how music influences behavior, how music can set temperaments, all of that, we understand now. So the decision to continue to promote this music that is harmful is a very deliberate decision being made by the whites who control the music industry.
You know, Bob, I want you to hang on a second. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. I'm honored, as always, to have on the line my good friend out of New York City, none other than we still got a couple minutes. Okay. Bob Law. We'll be right back.